From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler.
The Dublin Irish Festival returns on July 31st through August 2nd in Kaufman Park in Dublin. The festival, running since 1988, is one of the largest Irish festivals in the world. City of Dublin Events Director Alison Leroy joins me today to discuss the festival. Welcome to Craft, Alison.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to do this.
How do you describe the festival for people who haven't been there?
What I always try to explain to people who haven't been here is that you will be surprised when you show up to see what it is. Whether they're thinking it's just the dancing girls or they think it's maybe just cultural. One of the things we really try to talk about at the Irish Festival is what's going on today in Ireland and what's happened in the past. And so there's just something for everyone. And I think they're always shocked how big the Irish Festival is, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I remember taking my kids there many years ago and being surprised and seeing all the cool activities for kids. So let's talk about them. What are some of the activities that, for example, families can participate in?
Well, I think some of the families, the favorite thing for them are the dogs. And even though we don't classify it as necessarily a kids area or something, we have 7 different Irish breeds. So we have all the breeds there are that are the Irish dogs. And people come and bring their own personal dogs. So you can pet the dogs, you can meet the dogs. There's presentations about what a soft coat and Wheaton Terrier is like. But it's one of the favorite areas because you really kind of get up close and personal with those dogs. And then, of course, every kid goes home and saying, I want to get an Irish dog. But right, we have the Irish pony, some of those things like that.
What
we
makes do, an course, Irish pony?
An Irish pony. It's a bog pony. They're actually in Ohio. They're unique. They're bred to be useful in the bogs in Ireland. So they're littler, smaller, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of fascinating just to find out that difference. So animals are just always super popular with the families. The other thing that I think that isn't typical that people think about is our 10th century reenactment area. So it's the time of Brian Boru back in Ireland. And again, in the 10th century, and we have costume reenactors, but they do a lot of different things where they try to bring the kids involved. So they play some traditional games. They show them how to do some weaving, but they also will put the costumes on them and take pictures of them in Brian Boru's throne. We have the crafts. We have inflatables. We have all sorts of different things, but we want to kind of surprise people. And then that way we get the whole family involved.
Okay. I understand there will also be competitive sheep herding, which I think I kind of know about because I saw the movie Babe like 25 years ago. So what kind of sheep herding is this? It's, I assume, dogs.
Yeah. Yes, the dogs will herd the sheep. They don't compete against another dog, but we will have dogs there showing how they would do a competition. But the funny thing is they often will do geese too, or ducks. It's just something fun that they do. We don't obviously have a lot of sheep herds roaming around Ohio, so dogs don't necessarily have to go up there and keep the sheep together. But it is just kind of a fun thing for people to see these super intelligent dogs getting the sheep to get them to do what they want, but also doing the same thing with ducks.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have few sheep herds, you're going to have even fewer duck herds.
Yes.
Never heard of dog.
I think it surprises people a lot, but it's a lot of fun.
What's your favorite part of the festival? What do you look forward to every year?
Honestly, it's funny because I just love to see people having fun, especially when we have new staff or interns or something. I like to go up on the stages and tell them to look out. So especially if it's Saturday night, it's a big rock crowd or something, and there's thousands of people out there. Just like trying to say, look, you might have thought what you did was unimportant. You mailed out packets or you helped fill coolers or something like that. But you kind of look out and you see how much fun people are having. And it kind of just takes all that work and all the sweat and time you put in, and it makes it all worth it. So it's, to me, it's just watching people having fun with their family and friends.
Okay. One of the other things I wanted to mention or ask about is the Highland Games.
Yeah.
Because I think those are sort of a newer thing.
Before. Yeah.
So what happens with the Highlander Games?
Well, so it's not like you can show up and do it unless you're already part of the group, because these, they're not professionals, but I'm shocked at some of the things. We've actually had world records set at the festival because you get people and they do like the caber toss. There's a lot of throwing things. So I don't know
And
why.
the caber is the large, like, log looking.
It's almost like a telephone pole, if you can think about that. And so it's these amazing feats of strength that they're doing. And then they're tossing the sheaf over a pole, the amount of strength it takes. So we have the stones of strengths too. And you go up. So you start with the little rock that you have to pick up and put on a ledge, and you kind of go up. I think I couldn't even barely budge the first rock, let alone 10 rocks down. It was
I
just.
was going to ask if you've had the chance to throw the caber or anything along those lines.
I don't want to injure myself, but I have tried to lift the rocks. I will admit it's impossible. I mean, well, first of all, you have to know how to do it. So it's not always like you think it's always going to be the biggest, burliest guy that can do. Sometimes it's the wiry guy. But it's just you have to learn how to do it, how not to throw your back out while you're doing it. And it's a real skill. I'm very impressed watching them.
Yeah, at my age, that's the thing I think of most of the time with things like this. Will I throw out my back? And it's really what keeps me from competing.
I think that, and I think, well, okay, if I want to see the rest of the festival, I better not try too
Right,
harder. I'll be out for the rest.
At the beginning on Thursday, there's also a 5K, so you could participate in that. But tell me a little bit about that.
No, so that's another joke that I tell everybody, that new staff who think they can come in and run the 5K. And I said, you can't do that because you're going to be so tired. And they're like, oh, no, I can do it. We had one staff member once, and he had been a cross country runner in college. We let him do it, and he won the race 2 years in a row. So he was the only one we ever allowed to do it. But yeah, we
Nice.
have a great 5K race that's in downtown Dublin. So it starts over by Dublin Village Tavern in that area on South High. And the last couple of years, we've been having kind of an after-hour street party too. So after the run, everybody who participates, they either get a beer or they can have a Gatorade if they don't want to have the beer. But then we have a band there, we have some tables set out. So then it becomes kind of a street party afterwards. So a lot of people who don't run, or if you're there to go see somebody run, you can also take part in the party afterwards.
Okay, very cool. The last two things I wanted to let people know about are on Sunday, August 3rd, non-perishable food items and monetary donations for the Dublin Food Pantry will be collected at each festival gate. And I believe that if you make a contribution between 9:30 and 11 on Sunday, you get free admission.
Yeah, and it's a great partnership that they really are our designated nonprofit partner. So even if you go online and buy a ticket now, you can donate to them, and it makes such a difference in the community. We do know those years when we didn't have the festival in COVID, it was a double hit to those food pantry because it is their largest single collection. So it's really important. You see people walking in with boxes of food, and it's great to see because you can bring a can of green beans or you can bring a case of green beans. And so many people really tend to do the case of green beans.
Yeah, the way I feel about green beans, I think that giving away a case of them sounds
Yeah.
like a perfect idea.
I kind of feel the same way about canned green
Right,
beans.
yeah, or broccoli, and there's a lot of
But
foods
they're
that are.
very healthy. They're very healthy.
But whatever people want to do, whatever food
Yeah,
they want to bring.
right.
Okay, and the final question, one I've always wondered about, it's always the first weekend of August, which
Yes.
seemingly is the antithesis of
Irish.
going to Ireland, right? You know, because it's going to be blazing hot. So,
Yeah.
how did it end up on the first weekend of August?
So it's actually an interesting story, and it goes back to how the Irish Festival was founded in the first place. So the Columbus Fesh, which is spelled FEIS, is the Irish dance competition. And it's been going on for longer than the Irish Festival has. And at one point, it moved up here to Kaufman High School. It was Dublin High School at the time. And the festival started as a party for after the dance competition. So because of that, it grew from a parking lot with people using their cars turning their lights on, and now we are 39 years later and we have tens of thousands of people. The Fesh still goes on, and it now happens at Sports Ohio. So it's really close. We're still very tied into the Fesh. But the Fesh date is set by an international body, and it is the first Saturday of August. And we've even asked to change it. We said, can you even possibly change this? Could it happen? But we have an international body that we're dealing with. So it stays there that first weekend in August.
Yeah, that's fine. If they don't understand how that affects us poor people in Ohio. That's fine.
Yeah, I know, but it's now tradition. It'd be really hard to kind of break it.
Yeah, that's true. And you're used to seeing people being very sweaty, and it gives you the opportunity to become thirsty for the beverages there. Okay. Well, Alison Leroy, I want to thank you very much for talking to me today. Again, the Irish Festival in Dublin will be on July 31st through August 2nd at Kaufman Park. We'll have more information about that on the website at craftheshow.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Doug, for having us. We're so happy to be here.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.